If you have your Bibles, we are and have been studying about servitude to the Lord, giving God our best, making Him our Lord and our God. There's a difference. If He's Lord of your life, then you surrender your life's control to Him. If He's not Lord of your life, then you are in control of your life. We have to make Him Lord of our lives and God. We are to make sure that we learn how to deny ourselves. Self-denial is something that we choose to do because we know we have choice. And so we choose, we decide that I am not going to run my life. I am going to allow the Lord God to have rule of my life. We make that choice. In Romans chapter 12, well, Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service that we can render. And be not conformed, that's where we are, don't be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Conformity to the world is one of our greatest challenges as children of God, because we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We know all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things are in the world, and yet, because we are so acquainted with them, it's very easy to be swayed into thinking like the world. It's very easy to think that the worldly thoughts that you have are okay because this is how the normal or average person would respond. We're different, though. We are not of this world. We're supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to have our citizenship up in heaven. We are living on earth like we already are in heaven. I'm going to say that again. We're living on earth like we already are in heaven. When you live like you're already there, what does it look like? It certainly does not look like what we see a lot in us. That says that we're being influenced. We have started to conform. We're making decisions based on what the worldly thoughts are. We are living our lives based on what the worldly thoughts are. We're doing this and that based on the worldly thoughts are. We're responding to people based on the worldliness that we are influenced by. And we're not to conform to this world. And yet, we are conformists more than we like to admit. But we are to transform. We are to transform our lives in order to transform the lives of those around us. We ought to first be different in order to show people how to be different. If there is no difference in the church than in the world, why get into the church? Why become a part of the body of Christ? Now, I'm asking that question, but let me help you to understand. Whether any and everybody ever transforms their lives, you still want to be in the Christ Jesus. Amen. Whether the church changes or not, the people that you know change, you want to cast your lot with those that are following Christ. Amen. And don't base your life on whether or not the folk you know in the church are living faithful. You base your life on what God says you are to be and do. So last week in Ephesians chapter 4, we were laying the foundation of choices. And so this is the second part of choices. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 17, Paul writes, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." All of us come from a place that is ungodly. All of us come from a place where we have been in sin. Before we obeyed the gospel, we were lost. We were aliens from God. It says, having the understanding, verse 18, darkened, our understanding was darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness and work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Interesting statement. You have not so learned Christ. The example of Christ looks nothing like that. What we are called to in Christ looks nothing like that. What our life is to be, according to Jesus, and we have learned that based on what we know about Christ, has nothing to do with that. We haven't learned anything that is akin to selfishness from Christ. We haven't learned anything that's akin to bitterness and strife and envy from Christ. We haven't learned anything about hatred from Christ. None of that was a part of his character. Those things we learned from the enemy, the devil. We didn't learn that from Christ. Called us from those things to a different life. We didn't learn that from Christ. It says, endure us, but verse 21, that if so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If you've heard Jesus taught, if you heard the truth about the teaching of Jesus, if you've obeyed and turned your heart to the truth and teaching of Jesus, then you have moved all the way from what you came from, where you came from, what you were as an unbeliever to a place that you now are a follower. No, you are an imitator of him. Imitator. We're to imitate him. We are to do like he did, act like he does towards us. We are to imitate him. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former life. You actually have to put this off. Let me tell you something about your former life. It doesn't leave easy. Amen. And you know why it's comfortable. It's comfortable. You're so used to it. You ever had a comfortable pair of shoes that was worn out? But boy, when you put them on, they sure enough fit. And you know, the tendency is because they feel so good on is to put them on. And you get ready to put them on, and if you're married, your wife say, "I know you ain't wearing them out nowhere, right?" Your husband say, you know, the heel, that ain't right no more, okay? But it's so comfortable. You have a jacket or something that you put on that you know just feels good when you put it on. It's hard to put away the things that are comfortable. Our former life is so comfortable. We're so used to doing it. It's so easy to slip back into what we are used to do. It's so easy to slip, put back on that we used to have on. It's so easy to strike at it, folk, when they get in your way. Because you always kept folk in check. It had nothing to do with Christ. Had to do with your rights and not allowing anybody to do anything against you. So it's so easy to fall back into that. You got to put it off. You got to take it off. And it ain't easy. You got to take it off. And it ain't easy. And you know, when you get in a habit, you know, of serving yourself, and we're so busy today, everybody is busy. So guess who gets cut out? It's the Lord's Day that gets cut out. It's the Lord's Day. You know, I'm busy and I work hard, you know, and I got to take a break. I'm so busy. I can't get up. I get up every morning. Fight that traffic. I am not getting up on the Lord's Day that early. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're going to make a greater sacrifice for everything else you do in life instead of? You got to put that stuff off. Self-sacrifice is what Christianity is all about. Self-denial. So you got to put off concerning the former conversation, the former way you live. That old man, that old person, that old woman, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires. See, everybody has secret things in your heart that you know you want and you hope nobody else knows about it. Secret desires that you know are pulling at you and you're hoping nobody else knows. But they stay in your heart if you don't put them away. If you don't put them out of your life, they linger waiting for an opportunity to flare up again, waiting for a chance to show themselves in your life, waiting for you to be in the right moment at the right time with the right situation so it can come up in your life again. It never dies if you don't put it away. So you got to put that off. See, and it's something that you have to do. And then in verse number 23, you got to be renewed in the spirit of what, Brother Lynch, in the spirit of what? You got to turn it on if you're going to talk then. In the spirit of what? Black Mike. Black Mike.
Mike. And now,
what did you
your do? Mind.
Thank you very much. So you got to be renewed. Verse 23. You got to be renewed in the spirit. Your mind has capacity to your real you. You have to be renewed in that spirit part. It's a decision that you have to make. You choose to go in a different direction, to live a different way. You choose to act a different way, to become a different somebody. Don't be afraid to become like Christ. You know, one of the greatest fears? What's going to happen to me if I be like him? What's going to happen to me if I become like him? Man, I'm going to lose myself. I promise you, you will never be all you can be without becoming like Christ.
Amen. Amen.
That is your best self.
Yes,
Lord. That's your best self like him.
Yes, Lord.
You'll never be better. You'll stop looking like you and start looking like your father.
Jeez, brother.
Next verse.
And that you put on the new man,
yeah,
which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
You know, when you put on something new, initially, it doesn't always feel comfortable. You know, you ever put on a new pair of shoes? And if they're not broken, you know, you're saying, you know, this don't feel, man, I'm uncomfortable. But if you wear them a while, it stretches, it conforms, it becomes a natural fit for you again. But you got to go through the discomfort of putting on the new person.
You're so right.
It's uncomfortable to start pulling you in check. In alignment with the will of God. It's uncomfortable. You've never had brakes on. You've never had reins on. You've never had a governor on your life. It's always been do what you want to do the way you want to do it. You know, do it like you want to do it. You've always had that attitude. Then you come into Christ and he said, you got to rein you in. And you got to let me reign. You got to reel you in and let me reign in your life. Yeah. And in order to do that, you got to put on some things that may feel uncomfortable because you are conforming to the image of Christ.
Teach,
you are leaving the conformity from the world and you're conforming to the image of Christ. Everything about Christianity is about making us look like, talk like, act like, think like Jesus Christ. Jesus left, but he's in us. And since he's in us, we are to demonstrate to those around us, what does it look like for Jesus to be in your life? Well, how can Jesus be in my life? He's in your life and my life when we live like him.
Amen. Amen.
When we live like him, we show people what it looks like for Jesus to be in you. That's what we're demonstrating. And you got to put that on. And God, through Christ, starts creating something in us called righteousness.
Yeah.
It has been created. We're not righteous without the help from God. Nobody is righteous without the help from God. You got to have God in you, transforming you in order for you to claim righteousness. Righteousness is given to us as we conform. We are known as being righteous as we hide behind Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes it possible for me to be called righteous. You know, one of the greatest acts that ever took place was God, holy God, trying to figure out a way, how can I not just love the creature that I made, but how can I make sure that creature is able to be with me forever? Because the creature is sinful. The creature has sin in them. The tendency is sinfulness. Everything about them is sinful. How do I help that creature be in a state where I can call them righteous and have them around me? I hate sin, and I can't stand to see it. So how in the world am I going to get that creature around me? Because I want them to be around me. I know what? I need something that will atone for the creature.
Preaching.
I need blood.
Yes.
Something has to pay the price.
Yes, sir.
Somebody has to pay the price. Who is worthy? Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb. He shed blood. That blood is the power that washes my sins away. When I am washed in the blood of Jesus through baptism, simultaneously, that covering puts me in a state where God says, I don't see your sin no more.
Teach, sir.
I don't see your lies no more.
Well,
I don't see your fornication anymore. All I see is the blood. I can bring you to my presence. I can around me because you are covered in the blood. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't expect us to do our best with the covering.
Amen. Amen.
You see, we have a responsibility now to live like we belong to him.
True.
Because we belong to him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But we have a responsibility to live like that. There ought to be some sacrifice somewhere in our lives. We ought to look like him in everything that we do because we belong to him.
You're right.
We We owe him everything. All the spiritual blessings that we have access to is because of him. The hope of life after death, that we're going to live again with him, is because of him. It's not because of us.
Amen.
It's because of our relationship with him that I can say, I can close my eyes the last time, and I know when I open them again, I'm going to be all right. Well, how do I know that? I have hope in him.
Amen.
If I didn't have that hope in him, then you would fear everything and anything. His provision, he provides. Do you not know that God knows exactly what's going on in the world right now? Do you think it snuck up on him that we are having to deal with stuff like this today? He knew it was going to happen when he made the world.
Amen.
And he already knows the outcome. Mm-hmm. The final consummation of all things. He got it. He knows what that day is, what it looks like. When everything comes to an end, God got that date already. Jesus doesn't know. The angels don't know. But when God gets ready, he's going to say it's time.
Exactly. Yes, indeed.
It's time.
Yes.
And however he's going to bring it to an end, that's his business. It's his business. Don't matter how he brings it to an end. If you want to bring it to an end with a bomb, don't matter. If you want to bring it to an end with a disease, it don't matter. If you want to bring it to an end by tidal waves, it don't matter. It's however he chooses to bring it to an end, because that's his job. But he knows how he's going to do it. Our job is to be faithful until. Be faithful. Be ye faithful. Be ye faithful. Give yourself to him while you can. Next verse.
Wherefore?
Yeah.
Putting away lying.
Now listen. Choices, okay? You got to choose to stop lying.
Teach, brother. Why? Teach, brother.
You got to choose to stop lying. You got to choose to put that away. Some of you lie so good and so easy, you don't forget when you lie. You just smooth with it. Don't even know, you know, it's a lie. You done told it so long, you believe it. You know, I know that's true. You got to put that stuff away. You got to start being real. Read.
Speaking every man truth with his neighbor.
You got to learn how to be honest with folk about where you are. Not where you ought to be, not where you should be, but where are you? It's one of the hardest things to address. Okay? You really can't go where you want to be until you acknowledge where you are. You can't really move anywhere until you say where you are. You get ready to go somewhere, you got to start from the point you are to get there. You don't start from another place and say, I'm here, I'm trying to get there, but I want to start over yonder. Well, you ain't over there, you're here. You got to start where you are. You got to speak every man truth to his neighbor. Because we are members. We are members.
One of another.
We belong to each other. If we can ever get the message across to the church that we're not individual members who come together and congregate on a regular basis, but that we are part of a spiritual family. We are part of one another. And we start living and acting and talking and thinking like we are one another. Our relationship in Christ transcends mama-daddy relationship. It transcends husband-wife relationship. Yeah. It transcends sister-brother relationship.
You're right.
Parent-child relationship. The relationship that we have in Christ should be the greatest relationships that we have. And yet we treat one another like distant friends or distant relatives. Folk that you don't see often, You go to a family reunion, you say, okay, who is that over there? Well, he's in the family. He ain't in my family. You know, you got to learn how to see every person as a part of you. Because we are members of each other. What you do impacts me. What I do impacts you. What we say impacts each other. How we treat one another, it impacts each other. We're members of one another. Read on, verse 26.
Be ye angry.
Listen, 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 listen. We have to learn when we're members and it's a choice. We have to choose not to conform to how we respond to our anger. I don't know anybody that doesn't get mad or angry at times. I don't know anybody. You know, some of us have short fuses. Some have long, short, you know what short fuse? Short fuse is, you know, when I was a kid, we used to shoot all the time. And it was legal to shoot them everywhere, you know, and we would have all kind of firecrackers. We have Roman candles, we have the firecrackers, we have the cherry bombs. You know, we have everything, okay? We would shoot them, okay? And there was sometimes you would have a firecracker that had a short fuse, short stem, okay? Now, you generally save that one till you got down to the end. All right, because you know you got to pay attention with this one, right? So you go on and do what you're going to do with the other ones, you know. You light them, look at them, then you toss them up. You light them and run, all of that. But when you get to that short stem one, it was one of the last ones you mess with.
Yeah.
Because you had to pay attention. Because you knew as soon as that flame hit that wick, it's going off. Now you knew that. So you get ready to light. You ain't throwing that one. Now generally you don't throw that one. And if you did, you didn't do it but once. And you ain't do that but one time. But you find a place. You make sure everything's out of the way. Because you know when you light it, you got to move. You be moving. Everybody gets out from around it. Everybody know you're getting ready to light short wick. And as soon as you light it, you gone. Boom. Yes. Be angry.
But sin not.
Listen, we have to learn how to not allow how we think we are being treated or mistreated.
Teach us.
To stem something in us. It's about our rights. Jesus turned over tables, but it wasn't about him. It was about God. He said, don't disrespect my Father.
Amen.
When we get angry, it is not about God.
Amen. Make it plain, sir.
It is not righteous indignation. It is about us.
Yeah.
And we show it's about us.
Yes, sir.
Because we say what we ain't going to do. And what you ain't going to do. Be angry.
But sin not.
But don't let your anger, your feelings that you get in you, not be checked and filtered through the will and word of God. And if you are angry,
let the sun go down upon your wrath.
Don't allow yourself to take what you have and let it simmer all night long. You go to bed with it on your heart, and you wake up with it on your heart, and it starts to change you. It starts to pervert you.
Yes.
Perversion. Perversion is, it starts moving you from being like a child of God to going back to where you were before you became a child of God. And you don't even realize you're being perverted. And what's perverting you is the way you're thinking about what happened or what was said, what was done. And one of the issues are, we think too high of ourselves. We think we are more than we are. And we demand more from others than we should because of who we think we are. And when we do that, when we're disrespected, we carry that and we play it over and over and over again. And we go to bed with it, and we get up with it, and the next time we see the one, we got these feelings. We have these feelings. When we hear somebody's voice, something stirs up in us because we haven't let it go.
Teach, sir.
We're still holding on to the pain. That's how the world works.
Yes.
And we're acting like the world,
right,
and we don't even see it.
Right, sir.
Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Read.
Neither give place to the devil.
Don't allow the devil to get a foothold in your life. Let me tell you something. The devil don't mind if you come to church every week, but he has your heart.
Lord,
because the devil come to church every Sunday. He want to keep up with everything, you know. Hey, and the devil is always at church. You can't get rid of the devil.
Amen.
You can't get him out.
Teach, brother.
You just can't let him run rampant.
Right.
He's here right now.
Yes, sir.
Saying, oh, I hope they don't see me. I hope they don't see me. He called me out. You know, hope they don't see me. He knows that he's here.
Yes.
But he wants you to think he's not.
Mm.
He wants you to think devil ain't here. And when he flares up, don't give place to the devil. Don't allow the devil to have an opportunity to use you, to influence you,
amen,
to cause damage in the body.
Amen.
The devil is looking for somebody to use.
You're right.
To cause damage in the body. Don't give place to the devil. He is real. And by the way, the devil is not something, red suit with a pitchfork. Devil. That is not the devil. The devil is a spirit. God is a spirit.
Keep talking, sir.
But the devil has limited power.
Make it plain.
God has all power.
Yes, sir.
He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world.
Talk, sir.
The God in you can handle all the devils around you.
Talk.
If you let God reign in you.
Talk, sir.
Now, when you start thinking you better than that, and you all that in a bag of chips because everybody else something else, then the devil done got in you too.
Amen.
You got pride now.
Amen.
See, you got to remember that all of us are just a heartbeat away. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be where we are.
Amen. Amen.
You've been living good just that long. But look how long you have not been faithful. You're just trying to get it together. And God was merciful. Thank God for his mercy. God didn't take us when he could have.
Amen.
He spared us and gave us a chance. Because you know why? He wants us with him. He didn't want any man to be lost.
Teach, Brother White.
He didn't want anybody to be lost. He made a place for just the devil and his angels. That's all that was supposed to go there.
True, sir.
Then the devil said, you know, I'm gonna get some of your folk to take with me. We know we're going, but who are we going to take with us? God doesn't want any of his people, his children, his spirits to be lost. Amen? Read.
Let him that stole steal no more.
Read.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good.
Yeah.
That he may have to give to him that needeth.
You know, work, there's nothing wrong with work. Learn to appreciate the value of work and working. There's nothing wrong with work. But keep in mind, God never blesses you for you.
Come on.
He doesn't bless you to hoard.
Come on.
He blesses you to be a blessing so that you can help somebody else. Poor is the individual who hath more than they need and fails to see the opportunity to reach out and help somebody else. That is a poor individual.
That's all right, sir.
God has blessed you, but not for just for you. He blessed you to be a blessing. He allowed you, God gives you the power to gain wealth. And if he gives you that power, your wealth ought to bless the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
Not just you. Well, I work for mine. Who gave you the energy to work to get yours? Who gave you the mind to get what you have? Who blessed you with the abilities that you have? And you gonna have it and hoard it? Listen, learn to be productive. Learn to work hard. Nothing wrong with that. Young people, get a work ethic. You know, when we was growing up, we had chores to do. I mean, everybody had something to do. You didn't grow up in the house not doing something. And I mean all the time. It wasn't every now and then. It was every day. It's something you had to do around there.
Amen.
You know, when you got big enough to make your bed, bed had to be made if that was one of them things. You know, we had chickens, and I had to go get the eggs from the chickens. Every day we had a chicken coop, and I had to go down there and get the eggs. And I had to move that old hen out of the way, and she'd clackle at me, and I said, move now. And I had to get them eggs. And bring them in. You know, we had a garden. We had a garden. We had half of our yard was a garden. About half an acre was a garden. We had to live off the land. We were poor. We were poor. We weren't poor. We were poor. My dad preached, and we were poor. And we had to eat off the land. So I had to learn how to clip okra. Itch you to death if you didn't do it right. Yeah, I had to learn how to get the squash out and get the butter beans up. I had to learn how to do that. And string beans, I had to learn how to go snap them off the vine. And it was my job to carry the water down there, to water that garden. And it was a big garden, and I'm carrying tubs of buckets of water from up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill.
Yeah.
Not big enough, I had to cut the grass. I had to cut all the grass. When we gave up the garden and grass grew, I had to cut the whole acre. What a push mow.
Oh! It still hurts.
And when I left, my daddy got a riding mow.
No wonder.
I cut our yard, the church yard, with a push mow.
That make you want to...
Hell, you hear me when I get up and out? Get close out. Get down to the hip. I'm still putting it in. Come up. Coming up here. I mean, I did all of it. You got to learn how to work. You got to learn how to work. I still wash dishes. Don't I, Sister White? I still vacuum. Shampoo.
Ooh.
I told her we're getting rid of this carpet. Look, I'm getting tired. I'm tired of this shampoo. The carpet got, here the carpet got to go. I'm sorry. We got to get some floors in here. Listen, work. Don't be afraid to work. It's good. Nothing wrong with work. And then when you work, do the right thing with what you get.
Yes.
Be a good steward.
Yes.
You know, we don't talk about this a lot. This is not in this text right here, but let me just say while I'm around here, you know, when you get paid, you ought to set aside what the Lord's going to get. You need to think about, okay, what am I giving God? Now, you know, I already thought about what you got to get of light people. You know, I already thought about what you got to get of water people. You already thought what you got to get a mortgage or the rent, right? You know, I already thought about that. You already thought about what Dilla's going to get, what J.C. Penney going to get, what Kohl's going to get, what Macy's going to get. So you'd already decided that, all right? But you ought to say what the Lord's going to get when you get paid. What am I going to set aside for the Lord? And then, when you've done all of that, you need to learn how to pay you. Listen to me. You got to learn how to pay you. Don't work all your life and learn how to just spend your money. Learn how to pay you. Every time you get paid, you ought to put something aside for you. And if you don't pay you, you have not gotten paid. You are the medium between getting the money and giving it to everybody else. Man. The clothes folk got your money. The shoe folk got your money. Yeah, yeah. The entertainment folk got your money. We love to be entertained. They get all your money and you don't get anything. And when you get ready to need some money, ain't none of them going to give you a dime. Not a dime. You got to pay you. Every time you get paid, learn how to pay you. Am I all right, Brother Dale? I know this wasn't in my lesson, but this is okay. All right, listen. Next verse.
Let not corrupt communication
proceed
out of your mouth.
When you choose to let him be Lord, you simultaneously choose to control the greatest enemy in your life.
Make it plain,
that's
sir.
Wrong.
Yes, sir.
It is wild, unbridled. Mm-hmm. It's wild. It'll say anything. And anytime. Now, we know that that's your thinking, right? We got that, right? But the thinking controls that. So when you get your mind right, the tongue fall in alignment, right? Tongue don't speak without you giving it some words. But it'll be on automatic pilot for some folk because they have no restraint in the tongue. Let no corrupt communication
proceed.
Come out of your mouth. Some of us wouldn't talk about corrupt communication coming out. We wouldn't be saying nothing. Because most everything we say is corrupt. But let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now watch this. But what?
That which is good to the use now of this, edifying.
If that I can't it may say minister- some, hold up. If I can't say something that's going to benefit you, if I can't say something that's going to encourage you, if I can't say something that's going to instruct you, if I'm not going to say anything that may reprove you to make you look at God, if I'm not going to speak anything that's going to cause you to be better, why am I saying it?
Gee, sir.
It ought to be useful.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be useful.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I love having fun. And the guys that are around me know, you know, I'll crack a joke at a minute. I'll make anything funny, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't do it at anybody's expense. I don't do it that's going to embarrass somebody else. I do it because they know I love them. If I say anything, they know I love them. They know that. And we laugh together. But when you say something and everybody's laughing but the person you said it about, something wrong with what you said.
Not good.
Everybody with me?
Not good.
If you laughing and they ain't laughing, something wrong. You need to check your speech. You're saying the wrong things. You ought to be edifying. You ought to say stuff that builds folk up. Things that minister grace.
Unto the hearers.
Grace. We are responsible. If we're going to choose to be like Christ, we got to start speaking in ways that sound like Christ. Read.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Lord have mercy. Don't live. The holiness of God, the holiness of God resides in us. Mm. God said, I want to be so close to my creature, and I want to assist them so well that I want to be in them.
Yes.
So in the deep recesses of your heart,
yes, sir.
The Spirit of God,
yes, sir.
Lives in you. In you, the Holy of Holy lives in you. And so, whatever you do, wherever you do it, however you do it, with whom you do it, you do it with the Holy of Holies with you. Because he promised that he wouldn't leave you when he came. And watch this. And you can't get so bad that he just leaves you. He just got to tolerate you. He just has to endure. He didn't like it, but because you won't surrender, he just endures.
Teach, brother.
One day he's going to come back to the Father.
Yes.
Along with your soul and give an account of how you conducted yourself while he dwelled in you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And will he report? I'm so glad to get out of him. I'm so glad I'm able to get out of her. They never wanted to be anything like you. They never tried to be anything like you. They never conformed to you. They kept worldliness as a part of their life. They kept living worldly. I am so thankful that I'm apart from them.
Lord have mercy.
What will he say? He'll say, I'm so, you know what? You know, they had some issues every now and then, but you know, they pulled it together. And they started disciplining their life to be conformed to you. And I watched them struggle with themselves.
Yes.
And I nudged them along and they listened. I nudged them and they listened. I enjoyed that relationship with being with them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed. You've been sealed with him. Till the day you are going to be redeemed, yes, and he's with you.
Yes, sir.
But don't make him suffer being with you. Mm-hmm. Don't make him hurt because he's with you. Read.
Let all bitterness,
yeah,
and wrath,
yeah,
and anger,
yes, sir,
and clamor,
mm-hmm,
and evil speaking,
yes, sir,
be put away from you.
Get all that stuff out of your life.
With all malice.
Read. Gotta go on, read.
And be ye kind one to another.
All right,
tenderhearted.
Yeah, right.
Forgiving one, uh-huh, another.
Yes.
Even as God, for Christ's sake,
hath this.
Forgiven
you. Watch this. I'm gonna end with this. I'm gonna end right here. You look more like Christ when you forgive, amen, than any other time in your life.
You're right, sir. You're right.
You look more like him when you learn to forgive than any other time in your life. Christ demonstrated the epitome of forgiveness. To be the creator of humanity. To surrender to becoming a part of humanity. To implement a plan by God that required sacrifice, death, by the hands of the ones you created. To undergo unfathomable punishment, cruel beatings, to be beat all night long, to be nailed to a cross, to be pierced in the side, and while hanging on that cross, after enduring all that punishment, saying, Father, forgive them. Wait a minute. Make it possible for even these to be saved. Forgive them. Because they don't understand what they're doing. You see, when we practice and choose to forgive, we're more like Christ then than we will ever be. We're more like him then than we'll ever be. Give for me Mark 11, 25 real quick. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. What is it about?
And when ye stand praying.
Now listen to this. When Jesus saying, when you stand and you're praying, read.
If ye have aught against any.
Watch this. You're standing and praying to God. But if you have issues, aught, with what?
Any.
With anybody. You are coming to God in prayer, and while praying,
forgive.
Somebody comes across your mind. If you got aught with anybody, he says what?
That your Father also.
He says, what if you are about to do what?
Forgive. That your Father.
You have to forgive. You're more like Christ when you do that. Read. That your Father will what?
Which is in heaven may forgive you.
Everybody in constant need of forgiveness. Everybody lets a thought go away. You got to catch that thought and say, Lord, forgive me of that thought.
Yeah.
Every now and then we have a word come out that we know we shouldn't have said, Lord, forgive me of that word. Every now and then we plan and plot and do things that we know are contrary to the will of God, and yet when we recognize it, we have to come to him and once again say, Father, forgive me.
Yes.
The Spirit provokes and moves us and say, we forgive. And we expect him to forgive us. And we're so thankful that we have an advocate through Jesus Christ. He is our advocate right now. He's our go-between even right now. He's done all this to get us saved, and he keeps speaking for us. He keeps intervening for us, saying, let him go, Father. I did this for them, Father. I died for them, Father. So if you have aught against anybody,
forgive.
That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. You have to forgive them. Why is so much hinging on forgiveness? Because that is the greatest act of selfless love that can be demonstrated, is forgiveness, especially when it's not sought. especially when it's not salt. When people are asking for it, you forgive. Read next verse.
But if ye do not forgive.
Watch this.
Neither.
Watch this. If you choose to say, I have a right to hold on to the pain that you caused me. You was wrong. And I'm not going to let you off. Because you're wrong. Just know this. If you don't let it go, neither will your father,
which is in heaven,
forgive
you
what you need him to forgive you for.
Yeah.
It's not about them. It's about you.
That's good teaching.
It's about you in relation to them.
Yes.
He says, let it go. And you're more like Christ Jesus, your Father, than when you sing in How Great Thou Art. You're more like God then than when you're giving away food. You're more like him then when you're taking visiting the sick. Forgiveness is the greatest image that man can look like Christ than anything else. It's the height of what Christianity is about. Living for him, doing for him, and when we're wronged, carrying the burden and letting it go. That's Christianity.
Amen.
But you got to choose this.
Amen, sir. Amen.
Man, I tell you, you got to choose this life. See, maybe you didn't know when you became a child of God that you was coming into something that was so demanding, required so much discipline. Maybe you didn't know that God expected you to give your life to him when he gave you so much. But I want you to know, you got to sacrifice for him. But it's your choice. You got to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve him with everything that you have? Or are you going to reserve some parts of your life that you hold back from him? You reserve that because you deserve the right to live a certain way. And you don't want to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, so you want to keep the conformity of your old self. And you keep that stuff hanging up in your closet, ready for you to put it on at a moment's notice.
Well, sir.
Or you can surrender to God.
Amen.
I'm asking this morning, will you choose him? Will you choose him, all of him? Will you choose all aspects of him? Will you choose to live your life for him? Will you choose to let him change you? To surrender to him? Will you choose that? What am I going to look like? I don't know, but you're going to look like him. That's what you're going to end up looking like. You're going to end up sounding like him. Will you make the choice? See, you got a choice. You can keep going the way you're going, or you can choose him. Who wants him? Who wants to choose him? Is there anybody in the house who wants to choose him? Stand on your feet right now. Stand on your feet, please. Is anybody right now want to choose him? Is anybody want to stand for him? Is anybody want to live for him? Demonstrate your life by evidencing him in your life. Talk like he said and forgive like he does. And you need help with that. He's giving you his spirit to help you with that. Is anybody here who wants to conform to the image of Jesus Christ? And if you're here, you want us to pray with you, you come down. And we'll pray with you for the strength that you need. If you're here and you have sinned, you have allowed yourself to live for you and not for Christ, then I pray you have the courage to come down. And we're going to pray with you. And God will forgive you if you've given your life to him. If you're here and you know you haven't given God your best, it's time for you to start giving God your best. When is God going to get your best life? When is God going to get the best you have? What day is that going to be? Why not today? Why not give your life to him right now if you're not a member of the body of Christ? And you know what it takes to be a child of God, to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. If you're willing to repent of your sins right now, say that, you know I've been doing wrong, but I don't want to do that anymore. You choose to do what God says. Make a public acknowledgement that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And surrender to baptism for the remission of your sins. And put Christ on this morning. You can choose to do that today. You can leave a child of God today. All you need to do is come. Won't you come while we sing right now? Won't you come?